What's up, my friends? It's Rick Mulready here. Listen, if you are feeling like you're struggling to keep up with all the AI opportunities, or maybe you're wondering how to even start leveraging AI in your business without all the headaches, the AIify newsletter is designed with you in mind, my friend. Every week, I simplify AI for you, showing you how to apply it and integrate it into your business so that you can work less and profit more. As one of my readers put it, it's a must-have for any entrepreneur who wants to get more done in less time. And they said there's a lot of noise out there and your information is up to date, yet just feels more calm and more relatable. So I want to invite you to sign up for the AIify newsletter. It's free. Just go to rickmulready.com/newsletter. That's rickmulready.com/newsletter.
Visioning, so to speak, figuring out what I wanted, like, you know, coming back to like a certain number amount that I wanted my business to make. And for a little while, I just kind of was like, why is that? Like, when I dug deep enough, it was like, there really was no meaning to that number outside of I wanted to hit it because I think it's challenging.
Yeah.
And I actually realized that's an okay enough reason. I'm going to stop beating myself up. Like, yeah. It's not the only factor that I'm using to define, you know, what I want.
You're listening to a conversation with my good buddy, Greg Hickman. He's the founder and CEO of Systemly, system.ly. And Greg teaches digital agencies and service providers how to productize and scale their business with predictable systems. And I've known Greg now for, 6 years now. I think about how long I've known Greg. And we first met at a conference, Blog World, New Media Expo, as it used to be called, in Vegas back in 2013. This was before I even had an online business. This was that first year after I left corporate, and I had no idea what I was doing. So I got to know Greg really well. He's one of my good buddies. We've been in masterminds together. And a couple months ago, he wrote on his Facebook page this post, and I want to read just a few lines of it, because in this interview here today, I do read the entire thing, but I read it and I was like, I texted him. I was like, dude, got to have you on the podcast to talk about this, because this is something that not only have I been feeling in my business this year, earlier this year, and late last year, but this is something that just doesn't get talked about a whole lot, but yet this is the stuff that, you know, so many online business owners go through and think about. And he wrote, late last year, early this year, I hit a point in the entrepreneurial journey that was pretty rough. I later learned that it happens to many, but I was a bit afraid to chat about it. So I felt a bit alone. I thought I'd sound weak or quote unquote, not successful. But when I spoke with a handful of close friends and peers about it, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've been there, was the common response. He says, I, like so many I've seen recently, hit a point where I wasn't even sure I knew who I was. I didn't sound like myself. I didn't have my own thoughts. I felt like I just sound like everyone else. And so I started asking myself harder questions, like, what do I really want from these things in my business? What does success look like for me? What does success feel like for me? Do I actually even want that? Or do I simply just want to want that? And I read that and I was like, dude, so good, so well put. And like I said, a lot of these things that I've felt in my business over the past year. And so I had to have him come on. And this is a wide ranging conversation, real talk conversation on what it's really like growing an online business. This is that, you know, I talk about the iceberg metaphor. You only see what's going on above the water. Well, today is talk around what's going on below the water, right? In addition, we talk about things like feeling overwhelmed in your business and why that's actually okay to feel that way. We talk about how the problems and the challenges in your business don't magically go away as you grow your business. You know, you think you want this, you know, multi-million dollar business because that's going to solve all your problems. Well, you are mistaken, my friend. You're simply faced with a new set of challenges at a higher level as you grow your business. So we dive into all that. Again, this is a wide-ranging, real talk conversation, we'll call it, on what it's really like growing an online business. So with that, let's cue the music. Welcome to the Art of Online Business podcast. My name is Rick Mulready, and I'm an online business coach, Facebook and Instagram ads expert, lifestyle entrepreneur, and I'm a total coffee snob as well. Each week, you're going to learn actionable strategies, mindsets, and tips that take the guesswork out of growing and scaling a profitable online business so that you can truly become an entrepreneur with impact. This podcast is your secret weapon for fast-tracking the growth of your online business. Let's do this. All right. What's up, my friends? Welcome back to the podcast. Super appreciate you coming and hanging out with me today. Hope all is going well in your world. Today's episode with Greg Hickman, such an important conversation. It's one that might happen over coffee, right? Or behind closed doors, something that not a lot of online entrepreneurs openly talk about. And this is really about when you realize in your business that you've actually been growing someone else's business. You've let someone else's definition of a successful business be yours. This was me for the first few years of my business, and something that I've been thinking a ton about this year as I did things like rebranded the podcast, this podcast, and focused on, you know, going down to two offers, my Foundations Facebook and Instagram ads course and my 6-month Accelerator Mastermind. And so I'm super pumped to share this really honest conversation that I had with my good buddy and very successful online entrepreneur, Greg Hickman, about what it's really like and the behind the scenes stuff of growing a successful online business. Now, before I jump into it with Greg, quick announcement for you. I'm now taking applications for my next 6-month Accelerator Mastermind group, which runs from January 2020 to June 2020. I can't believe we're almost already in 2020. Okay, so my group here is for online experts. In other words, you're a course creator, you're an online educator, you're a coach, you're a consultant, okay? And you've already achieved a certain level of success in your business, but you're now spinning your wheels to get to the next level. And that next level is going to be different for all of you. It could be to break through 6 figures. Maybe it's multiple 6 figures, 7 figures, right? Because you're at this point in your business, you don't need another course or to read more books. What you need is a cohesive growth strategy, right? Combined with coaching, community, support, and accountability in helping you fast track and helping you take your online expert business to the next level. So if that's you, if you'd like help in taking your business to the next level, you're already generating revenue in your business, then I would love to invite you to apply for the Accelerator Mastermind and see if you're a fit. Because when you apply, we'll schedule a free strategy call. And again, between the application and the strategy call, we'll see if you are a fit and we are a fit for you. Okay. So just go to rickmulready.com/accelerator. Again, it's rickmulready.com/accelerator. All right. Without further ado, let's go hang out with my good buddy, Greg Hickman. Greg, I remember sitting in a coffee shop in San Francisco. I don't know how many years ago this was. Probably, 5 years ago at this point? And it was me, you, and John Lee Dumas. We were up there for a mastermind. We used to be in our own mastermind.
Yeah.
And we decided to kind of go to different locations from time to time. Well, we went to Bozeman, Montana, and we also went to San Francisco. That was the one that Tim Ferriss showed up at.
Yeah.
But I remember sitting in the coffee shop the day that we were leaving, and you had a business called Mobile Mixed, and you were trying to figure out what was next for it.
Yeah.
And that was 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago.
Yeah.
You've gone through so many evolutions, and you're one of the first people I met in the online space. We met at what used to be Blog World.
Yeah, New Media Expo.
New Media Expo, yeah, in Vegas, I think it
was. In 2013, I believe it was.
Yeah, so 6 years ago, that was the year that I had no idea what I was doing in the business. I did not have the business I do now, meaning like I wasn't teaching ads. I wasn't teaching online businesses how to grow, et cetera. And that was like my, that was like the year of floundering for me.
Yeah.
And so you and I have been on this kind of journey together, and you wrote a post probably a month ago, and I read it. You wrote a post on Facebook, and I read it, and I was like, dude, like, come on the podcast. Let's talk about this. This is a conversation that we need to have, and a lot of people need to hear, because this is so common, but yet a lot of people don't talk about it. And so in just a second, I'm going to read that post, and I want to kind of dissect it a little bit. And I told you right before we started recording here that I have no idea where this is going to go. And I think those are some of the best episodes, right?
They're my favorite.
Now, before we do that, though, share a little bit about who you are and what you do today, because we're going to talk about the evolution.
You've probably heard the saying, if you want to make money, serve people. If you want to make a lot of money, serve lots of people. But how do you do that when you're already super short on hours in your day? So if you're on my email list already, then you know that I'm speaking at the Platform and Profit Summit. It's 100% free, and it's a 3-day virtual summit to help you better position yourself and your brand to create even more partnership and profits. Plus, in addition to discussing Facebook ads, I'll also be speaking on a panel called Positioning Yourself and Business for More Connections and Collaborations. Like, if you've ever wondered how I'm meeting all of these cool guests that are appearing on this podcast that you're just getting so much knowledge and info from, well, I'll be sharing that during that panel too. And it all starts May 1st. That's this Wednesday in a few days. Because, well, what if you could quit funding all of your events and projects and launches out of pocket and learn how to leverage the power of sponsorships? And I love this because I hate theory. I never did well with theory in school. I just like practical, actionable advice from people who are actually doing it right now, not what worked for them like 5 years ago. So like, what if you could generate consistent cash flow for your business or increase income while also reaching your lifestyle goals? You know, that reason that you started the business in the first place. Like, what if you could build credibility and influence while creating consistent partnerships and profit to grow your business? Me and about 30 other expert trainers, are going to share our strategies to help you create partnerships and profits, plus the mistakes that we've made so you can avoid them. And I can't stress this too much. This is what's working now, not last year, not the year before, but what we all are doing in our businesses now. So you ready to finally have more partnerships and profit in your online business? Use the link below to register for free. The Platform and Profit Virtual Summit. It's a 3-day free, 100% free summit, and it starts this Wednesday, May 1st. Learn how to better position yourself and create an even better partnerships so you can finally create the profits you desire in your business. I can't wait to see you there. Chat soon. All right, back to the episode.
Yeah. So today we basically have a coaching and training business, coaching primarily digital agency owners, service providers on how to create an online leveraged program. And for some, that looks like more of a productized service. For some, that's launching like a high ticket coaching or consulting program. And through that, really starting to make their business more automated. So, you know, automation around lead generation, nurture, fulfillment, specifically as service providers, how do we streamline that to increase capacity? And that's really what we focus on. So really growing their business by one, leveraging their offering so that they can make more by working less, and then leverage technology, systems, and automation to streamline how they operate in the day-to-day of their business.
I love it. And you, when did you officially start? So when you decided to do away with Mobile Mix and shift away from that, what year was that?
That was 2015. So the first clients of Systemly started September of 2015. And at that time, we were really just a done for you, you know, Infusionsoft funnel building agency.
Yeah.
And we started making our own pivot into leverage programs in February of 2017. And we haven't really turned back since.
So 4 years ago, you were one type of business.
Yeah.
You've iterated even since then to where you are right now. You've kind of like gone back and forth, right? You've tried some things. You're like, oh, this didn't work. Let's go in this direction. This didn't work. So you've kind of pivoted. You've had a couple of, I would say, fairly big pivots.
Yeah.
And then some sort of like mini pivots, if you will, within that to get you to where you are right now. And when I have conversations with entrepreneurs and online business owners, especially, like, they're afraid to get locked into one thing.
Mm.
They're like, yeah, I want to do this, but I'm not sure if I can make changes along the way. And it's this such an interesting mindset that they think that they have to be doing this one thing forever.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
they're like locked in, and so many of us have done this sort of thing, gone through pivots and stuff like that. And it's just part of the journey. Do you have anything?
Yeah. I'm no stranger to reinventing myself. That's for sure. I mean, which I think it is a good thing and a bad thing in some degrees, but I can tell you kind of the place where I kind of got stuck was kind of really specifically in that transition from my mobile background into kind of, you know, automation and building funnels for online entrepreneurs. I mean, like, there couldn't be anything different. I was doing mobile messaging, mobile, like, text message marketing for independent retail.
Yeah.
And then switch to building funnels for online entrepreneurs. And, you know, the big hang up for me was, well, I just spent the better part of a decade building my awareness and like my authority as this mobile person. And it came to the point where I probably should have transitioned a lot sooner, but I was stuck on the, what's more important, me being the mobile guy or me having like a business that actually is growing and can provide for me and my family, like, which is more important. And after way too long of, you know, figuring that out, it was like, the business. And that's when I kind of made like, all right, I'm hanging up the mobile hat and, you know, figuring out the next thing. And I think, you know, that was, for a lot of people, I think getting started in entrepreneurship, that might be where they're starting from. Like, they have all of this expertise in this one area, and then now it's going to require them to do something new. And it's scary, obviously, but for me, it was required.
Did it take you longer to make that shift because of ego, you think? And also, yeah, like,
100%.
And like your sunken costs, right? You're like, oh, I've spent so much time in this space and being an expert in this space, but now I got to make a shift.
Yeah, it was both. I mean, there's a lot of factors, but they're both heavily involved. I'm, you know, the mobile guy, you know, a lot of people knew me as that. I still felt like I was super early in that whole space. And, you know, it's like, man, like, I've been doing this for 10 years and like, I feel like it's about to sort of tip. And it's like, I'm about to leave before the tipping point. Like, there was a little bit of fear and hesitation on that. Like, am I giving up too soon? Mind you, I got started in mobile, for those that are listening, where, however old you are, I have no idea. I got involved in text message marketing like pre-iPhone. Like, there was mobile marketing before smartphones, and I was involved at that point.
You were super early on.
Yeah, very, very, very early. So like, I have seen every single evolution in that regard. And I was like, I've seen it all. Like, there are people that literally came to me because they didn't understand how we even got to where we were at. So yeah, 100% ego. But as it kept evolving, one of the key drivers was I didn't want to keep working with independent retailers. Like, I didn't care about them. Like, I wasn't passionate about them. What I was passionate about was all the people that were inspiring me, which at the time were, you know, people like, you know, Pat Flynn and, you know, Jeremy and Jason from Internet Business Mastery, you know, were huge influences in me in the beginning. And like, those are the types of people that I wanted to serve, but like, I had no idea how to serve them at that point.
Yeah. So you built that business. Once you made that shift to funnels and stuff like that, you built the business really fast.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, doing multiple six figures a month, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah. I mean, in context, like I said, we started, you know, the first clients came on board for pretty much next to nothing in September of 2015. And I mean, we were doing 30K a month in like four or five months, which is like, I mean, again, nothing to really brag about, but like, that's how quickly it accelerated.
Yeah.
Which was triple what we were doing in the mobile thing when I was trying to figure that out. So it was like, all right, it took me 10 years to get to like 10 or 15K in this mobile thing. And it took me 4 months to double that in this other thing. So I was like, all right, like, this is the direction I'm going.
So you knew you were onto something at that point. You're like, holy cow, this is great. You hit some growth roadblocks, if you will.
Yep.
Growth challenges as you went along, like we all do. But I want to kind of fast forward to early this year, early 2019, where things like you had kind of iterated different variations, if you will, of that business, of the funnel business, to lead you to where you are today. But it was, you kind of hit a point early this year that I want to read this Facebook post, because like I said, when I read that, I was like, dude, I can 100% relate to what you're saying. Totally empathize with you. And so you said late last year / early this year. So that would have been late 2018 / early 2019. I hit a point in the entrepreneurial journey that was pretty rough. I later learned it happens to many, but I was a bit afraid to chat about it. So I felt a bit alone. I thought I'd sound weak or not successful. 100%. I totally agree with you there. But when I spoke with a handful of close friends and peers about it, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've been there was the common response. # sigh of relief. I, like many I've seen recently, hit a point where I wasn't sure I even knew who I was. I didn't sound like myself. I didn't have my own thoughts. I felt like I just sound like everyone else. Mm. I started asking myself harder questions like, why do I really want these things? What does success look like for me? What does success feel like? Do I actually want that? Or do I simply just want to want that? Mm. You said, read that one again, because that's a dangerous one. Do I simply just want to want that? Building my own business has been one of the scariest and rewarding experiences ever. Building a business requires you to work on yourself, your mind, your health, your perspective, your emotions, and more. It's truly the best self-development program out there. Couldn't agree more. I wouldn't trade it for the world, but to develop oneself, you must learn to understand things like, who am I right now? Who do I want to be? How do I become and act more like that future version of me? A huge accelerator has been investing in mentors and coaches along the way. Man, I'm so grateful for every one of them. The problem though, well, one thing I didn't account for was the amount of help I was getting at one time and speed at which I was trying to implement, and how at some point or another, I just blindly adopted other people's goals, other people's definition of success. I had no real reasons for the things that I wanted or the numbers that I wanted to achieve. It wasn't until I stopped and cut off all the noise and inputs that I finally started to hear my own voice again. I learned it's actually not easy to figure out what you want. That's because figuring that out takes work, like hard work, hard work. Oh, in time, it takes a lot of time, thinking time. Time that I wasn't giving myself because I was just trying to keep up. But keep up with who? Keep up with what? I feel like I was losing a race, yet I didn't know I had entered one in the first place. The truth, all of it could have been avoided if I just stopped to ask, what do I want? And then review that daily, challenge it, question it, rip it up and build that vision back up. It wasn't until I did the hard work and sat down and wrote out the things that I wanted over and over for months. I wrote about what success meant to me and what my successful business would look like. If you haven't done this, be warned, because if you're just blindly jumping from guru to guru, program to program, implementing without thinking about the long game, you might just be subconsciously adopting their version of success. Chase things that they want. If for some reason you've been waiting for permission to define your own version of success and set your own goals, well, you have my permission, not that you need it. Like, I just want to give a second for that to sink in, because I've been talking a lot about lately, especially with my mastermind groups, this whole defining your version of success. Mm. Because, you know, we know a lot of very successful online business owners, and, you know, some have big teams, other multi-million dollars, others have small teams, you know, and multi-million dollars. And it can be really dangerous to look at what other people are doing and how they define success in their business. And we try and chase that. We try and look at what somebody else is doing and say, yeah, I'm going to do that too. When, to your point, what I just read, what you posted is like, that's a really dangerous and slippery slope. And I've talked about it here on the show. It's like, when we start chasing other people's definition of success, we lose sight of who we are. We get burned out. We're always working, all that stuff. So take us through your mindset when you were writing that. That was about a month ago, I know, but
yeah,
obviously this is still really fresh for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I had a conversation with someone on my team about some of those things this morning. Yeah. I mean, I think one of the best, I guess, skills or characteristics or traits, whatever you want to call it, I think of at least the entrepreneurs that I admire, is self-awareness. And I think, you know, in spending a lot of time, you know, late last year, early this year, really thinking, which feels awkward at first, because it's like you feel like you should be doing something else, but you are in fact working. You really start to understand, like, well, where do I want to go? Where am I at now? Like, what's my reality? And like, I don't know, start looking at what does success mean to me? And what things do I want experientially, you know, tangible, intangible, blah, blah, blah. And I think for me, well, at least where I've reverse engineered to like, how did this happen sort of thing, was the business was growing really fast. We had, like, you know, stringing together multiple six figure months for the first time, you know, hadn't done that before. And, you know, investing to kind of like doubling down on the growth, which had me, you know, working with a couple different coaches and mentors simultaneously and trying to implement all the things. Some had been in business way longer than others. And, you know, you would learn a tactic or a strategy, or you'd see how, you know, their community was doing something. And it, like, whether subconscious or not, like, I felt like that's how I needed to like remodel my business. And in doing so, I broke my business. And like, we went off that trajectory that we were on and kind of actually went into like a downward spiral. This was I had been in the downward spiral before the end of 2018. Mm-hmm. I obviously wrote about it this year. I've been like, I'll call it coming out of that. Yeah. It was just, I just blindly was like, okay, well, that's how I should do it. And then I just went and did it. And then it didn't work for me like it worked for everybody else. And, you know, for a lot of reasons that have no bearing on like the person that I learned it from, or that, you know, the coach I was working with, it was like, I didn't have any sort of filter for, well, how does what I'm learning apply to my business, and how can I apply it, or at least take lessons from it, without necessarily having to blow the entire thing up to achieve it? And I just like was sort of reckless, I would say, you know, just go, 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 go. And in doing so, I actually kept I had my attention on solutions that weren't addressing my real problem in the business. And that just kind of put us down the wrong path. You know, like as my example, well, my example was everything was going great. The whole Cambridge Analytica thing happened, and like realized just how dependent we were on Facebook from a lead source, and like many people probably. Mm-hmm. And so when you deep down, the problem was where we don't have enough sales opportunities because our lead volume has dramatically decreased. So what did Greg think was the problem? Changing the product. Which there was no problem with the product. There hadn't been. We had been selling it obviously fine, you know, doing multiple six figure months, you know, back to back to back to back before, you know, deciding to, oh, it must be the product that's this lead generation problem, solve this lead generation. And that was just like me being blind to, oh, I was in a program and a lot of them were talking about restructuring your business model. And so I, you know, restructured it, you know, without really asking myself, is this right for us?
Yeah.
And that just cascaded into other stupid decisions that I made. But that's when I realized, I'm like, man, like I'm in these programs. I'm looking at all of these other people, the people that are successful in the programs, like, you know, the star-studded students that came out of that program or whatever, and just almost just doing it because they were doing it, because it obviously must have been the right thing to do. And I just, some of them didn't work for me. Some of them didn't feel right for me for whatever reasons. And it took me like disconnecting from all of that, like leaving the programs, you know, not having a coach. Oh my God. For a little while, you know, everyone's like, if your coach doesn't have a coach, you should reconsider. I think this is the biggest BS in the world. First of all, it's like, hey, like sometimes you need to kind of recalibrate, and even all smart people do that, you know? So I was recalibrating. I'm actually in seek of a mentor or a coach, and I'm going to be way more selective this time because of that. And again, it wasn't anything they did, but I just think it's, a lot of us get caught up in this and you see what other people are doing and you just kind of go to model it blindly. And the next thing you know, you have something that you didn't want because they did it to get what they want. You know,
it's exactly the reason why, like in my Accelerator Mastermind, I don't teach one way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, because everyone wants like the magic bullet. Everyone wants the, like, tell me the one way to do it.
And everyone has their own ways, right? But that's why I very intentionally don't teach one way to, like, you know, grow your online business and take it to the next level, because there's different ways you can do it.
Let's
find something that works for you, right?
Yeah.
So when you were going through that, you were doing really well. Yeah. Like, you were having great months. You were selling. Do you feel like you didn't figure out, or didn't, I wouldn't say figure out, like, give yourself an opportunity to realize that, you know what, this isn't a product, you know, this isn't my offer. Like, our lead volume is down. So do you feel like it took you longer to get there because you were doing the things like you're talking about in that post that I just read, where you were just going?
Yeah, 100%.
And not giving yourself, because I can totally relate to that. And frankly, I'm still kind of in that. I go through periods where I do allow myself, but I'm like you, and I'm like most other people too. My brain immediately goes to, whoa, if I have this big thinking block, I'm not moving things forward. And in fact, you actually are.
Yeah. 100% the go, go, go. And I think a lot of that comes down to, at least maybe for me in this moment, because of the go, 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 I didn't properly diagnose my own problem. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, one of the things we teach our clients all the time is, like, you know, one of the most important things I think in growing a business, especially if you're trying to, like, you know, go from zero to whatever, seven figures, blah, blah, blah. If that's what you're trying to do, if you're just trying to grow, like, sequence is so important. And it's really easy, especially when you have all of these inputs without stopping to figure out what you're trying to accomplish, to solve the right problems in the wrong order. And when you solve the right problems in the wrong order, you can, as I demonstrated, like, blow up your business. And so, like, you need to solve the right problems in the right order. And, like, one of my buddies and I talk about, you know, this notion of, like, thinking about your business, like, in seasons. And I don't mean, like, fall, winter, spring, but, like, seasons of, like, a sitcom. Like, you know, I was a huge Lost fan, you know, people that were, like, huge Friends, for, like, there's like 11 seasons of Friends or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe that one's not a good one because it was really a show about nothing, like Seinfeld. But, like, in Lost, you know, there was a storyline. They couldn't go introduce characters that were going to be in season six in season two because it wouldn't make no sense. Right. And so, like, when you are in these other programs or just following anybody blindly, you have to understand, like you mentioned, you know, we have friends like Amy, who now is a team of 12. Like, I remember when she was a team of one, and it's like, but she also started way before us. And, you know, Pat was, like, in the game for, like, 5 to 8 years before, like, you know, a lot of us even started. And so if we're executing on things that we're seeing them do when they're in season eight and we're in season one or two, like, those might not be the best things for you to be working on right now.
Yeah.
And so I think that was kind of what was happening to me. I was like, I was almost trying to be too many steps ahead of where I was at. And I'd say part of it was riding on some of the ego of how well we had been doing. Mm-hmm. And also just, like, not wanting that to end. So it was like doubling down. But I was doubling down on the wrong things, because the people that I was, I guess, modeling or emulating, and I'd say subconsciously, honestly, they were just, they were multiple seasons ahead of me. And so, of course, their activities look different and their things look different. They were on a different trajectory and timeline than I was on. So, and I never just stopped to say, well, where am I at? Where is my bottleneck right now? And what would be the activities that would solve that? Because I could have easily taken that to those groups and been like, okay, I see where you're at, but, like, here's where I'm at and here's where my bottleneck is. What would you do? And that would have been the smart thing to do. But I didn't do that. At least now I'm smart enough to know that that's what to do.
But you had to learn that, right, along the way.
Totally.
I mean, it's, and it's kind of like we look at it and, you know, I'm super hard on myself. That's one of my things I'm working on.
Yeah.
And so I look at that and I'm like, dude, like, this is a voice that I'm, like, talking to myself. Like, dude, why didn't you figure that out? Why didn't you know that? You know, it's like, well, it's part of the journey, right?
Yeah.
Like, what we're doing and what we're figuring out as we go along.
Yeah.
And you and I have talked about, like, this time last year. So I was getting ready for the birth of Maya. She was born in December. Before she was born, my whole thing was I wanted a big team. I wanted an office to go into where the team came in. I wanted a local team here in San Diego. And, you know, this, I wanted all those things. And then that still continued into Q1 of this year. I got this big office over in a really nice neighborhood here in San Diego. It was literally on top of a Starbucks. It was this two-floored office with like a conference room, and it
looked pretty sweet.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was, I'm not gonna lie, it was awesome. It was like 1400 square feet. It was one of those like work live lofts. So it had like a full kitchen, two full bathrooms. I mean, it was awesome. Huge ceilings, like 25-foot ceiling. I mean, it was awesome. I got in there like 3 months in and I was like, this is not what I want. Like, this isn't what I'm looking for. Mm. So, and I was realizing like, I want to be closer to home so I could see my daughter more during the day.
Yeah.
And like, just kind of happened, but there was an apartment for rent, a one bedroom apartment, literally down the hall from where we live. And I ended up renting that as the office. And that was great because I was literally 34 steps down the hall to the office. Mm. But even then, even after a few months, I was like, it just didn't feel good. It didn't feel right anymore. I loved being so close, but it just was like, I don't want this. I don't want the big team anymore. I don't want, you know, I don't want a quote unquote big overhead office. So I gave that up too. And, you know, as I was telling you before we got started here, Amy and I are buying a house. We're going to be moving in January. And so I'm going to have a really nice home office again. But that's more about like just the point of my sharing now, that it just kind of shifted. Like my definition of what I want out of the business really shifted when Maya was born. And I think for a lot of people, they go like you're talking about, we go chase, and I did this for a long time too. Like we go chasing what another person's version of success looks like in their business. And man, that's just a fast way for burnout and unhappiness.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Unfulfilledness.
Yeah. And one thing I will say is that, you know, at least as I was doing some of my, like, you know, visioning, so to speak, figuring out what I wanted, like, you know, coming back to like a certain number amount that I wanted my business to make. And for a little while, I just kind of was like, when I dug deep enough, it was like, there really was no meaning to that number outside of, I wanted to hit it because I think it's challenging.
Yeah.
And I actually realized that's an okay enough reason. I'm going to stop beating myself up. Like, yeah, it's not the only factor that I'm using to define, you know, what I want, but like, sure, when I kept coming back to, but I still want to be able to generate X.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's not necessarily about that number because of somebody else. It's because I actually know that it's like just beyond what I think is possible. And like, that's why I want to do it, because I think it's just beyond what I think is possible. And like, to achieve that is the reason why I want it, not because of the number. Yeah. And it took me a little while to be okay with just that being an okay reason. Like, and I know that maybe that's a little bit ego-centered. Guess what? Like, ego is a real thing. And in that case, for me, like, I'm acknowledging my ego and I want to hit that for that reason. There's other things that have nothing to do with that number that are really important to me that I will not like compromise to hit that number. But I think sometimes it's like, if you come to this point where at least I was at, I kept coming back to, oh, but I still want that number. And I felt guilty for a little while, until I just said, hey, it's actually okay for me to want it because it's challenging. You know,
where did that guilt come from? Because it was a big number?
No, I mean, it's not, it's honestly, it's a number that I believe is very possible without making any sort of compromises. And I know that because I know other people that live a lifestyle like I want and haven't made those sacrifices or compromises either and have achieved that. So, you know, again, like when you start to figure out what you want, I think you'll probably start recentering on, well, who are the people that I should be, you know, taking advice from, or at least, you know, looking to learn from. And I mean, I look to a lot of different people now for different things. Like, there are some people that I genuinely admire and follow because like of how good of a father they are. Like, I don't necessarily care about how they do in business, but like, they are a business owner, but like, I wouldn't want to have their business, but I want to show up like them as they do as a father. Mm. And then there's some people that like, they have a business and like, they don't have kids yet. And I'm like, well, okay, I want to look at a few specific things about how they live, blah, 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 you know, so to speak. So I do think it's okay to start narrowing back in on maybe those people that you want to, you know, receive advice from as you get clear on this, because again, coaching and mentorship and having that are super important. But when it's, I think, misaligned with what you want and or different from what you want, you might just subconsciously go down a path that put you in a destination that you weren't trying to get to.
What are some of those things that you were saying yes to before that you're like, no, I don't want to, you know, what were you compromising then that you're not so much now? And maybe still, frankly, working on it. Like, I'm working on things right now, too.
Yeah, I would say then I was probably a high ticket closer's freaking dream. You know, like, I mean, in the span of probably 18 months, I was in a $40,000 mastermind, a $24,000 a year program. I did a $10,000 course, another $15,000 contractor that I used for a 3 month stint. Not 50,000 a month, 50,000 total. Mm-hmm. And so like in a short window of time, I was heavily investing in my own growth, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Right. I think to my detriment, to the point where it's like, everything that I saw as an opportunity, like I didn't want to miss it. And so I like, because of that, I think I invested in certain things that were probably out of sequence for me, which actually handcuffed me to invest in where I really needed help, which was in my team. It's like, all right, well, when you're dropping, you know, whatever, even if you're spending $3,000 to $6,000 a month on like mentorship and coaching, like that's like five people. Depending upon the roles, that could be like 3 to 4 people, you know? Right, so that could really actually take stuff off your plate. And so I think I actually invested in more knowledge and information when I needed to be investing in more actual support for myself so that I had the bandwidth to really apply what I was learning, because I didn't really have the bandwidth to do that. And so when I did apply it, things started to fall apart because we didn't really have the bandwidth to support really anything that I was trying to apply. Cause one, I was out of sequence, and two, I had not enough help because all of my putting back into the business was in like more information and knowledge, which again, I think sequentially there's points where you, like if you're missing something and you know what you're missing, the fastest solution is to go invest in some like a coach or a program that has that knowledge and can give it to you, because that's the shortcut. Mm. But if you don't have the bandwidth to apply it, or it's completely out of sequence from what you should be applying, then I think it actually can.
What if somebody doesn't know what they should be applying?
Then you definitely shouldn't be hiring any. I don't think you shouldn't be paying anything until you can. Like, here's the thing. I think, and I reserve the right to take this back after I say this for everyone listening. At least the coaches that I've worked with, most of them aren't going to tell you what your biggest problem or bottleneck is. And if they do, likely they haven't gone deep enough to actually properly diagnose that. Because most of these programs are group, right? And so like, I think some of the diagnosis probably you could have gotten to through one-on-one. But I think there's a general rule of thumb if like you're just getting started out, like literally. So we do these 2-day intensives with our clients. This year we did them 3 times. Next year we're doing them 4 times for a higher level program. And so in 2 days, like the end of this week, as of us recording this, like our clients are coming to town. And one of the things I'm taking them through, because of part of this work that I've been doing, is like, I'm calling it the growth ladder. And I've basically went back and looked at our trajectory. Then I cross-referenced that with existing clients, peers of ours that like they will all know. And I was like, what activities were you doing in this range and in this range? What did your team look like? Was it part-time? Was it contractors? What roles? And so I put together this ladder that basically says, hey, like between this number and this number, like likely your biggest problem is this, which means your focus should be on sales. And it's a ladder because they stack on top of each other. And I think where I messed up was, just because you move up one step of the ladder, sort of like a pyramid, that doesn't mean you can stop the activities that were happening the rung lower.
Right.
And like, I thought I had lead generation figured out. And so I went up the ladder and stopped doing some of the things that were working for lead generation. And when that dried up, I had no leads because I thought I was onto the next problem, but I stopped. Like, you have to keep solving that problem and then move on to the next problem. Right. And so kind of helping them identify like where they're at. And sometimes I think because we're out of sequence, working on solutions and activities that, because we think we've already solved the actual symptom and the problem from the layer below, where maybe it's not as bulletproof as it should be to like continue to build on top of. And so you don't want it to come crumbling down. Like, you want the foundations. And so that's, I think, a key piece. And like, really, I think if you're under $100,000 a year listening, like, you're selling and validating, period. Like, you haven't found product market fit, likely. You know, 100 to 300, I think it's still sales and lead generation. You know, 300 to a million, it's like automating lead generation, starting to simplify your fulfillment. And then, you know, towards that, I'd say half a million to a million is where maybe you start finding more leverage in delivery and adding, you know, some more team as a very loose kind of look at that ladder. Sure. But yeah, and I think it's very simple to think, like, because you have one Facebook ad campaign, your audience will probably resonate with this. Doesn't mean you've solved lead generation, you know,
right,
like
right.
One campaign working for, you know, the span of even a few months, which from my perspective right now is even hard to get, is like, that doesn't mean you've solved your lead generation problem and that you can stop worrying about leads, because like one campaign could stop working. And then if that does, you're back to needing to solve that problem again. So you, I don't know if that answered the question, but
100%. Cause you mentioned too, I want to harp on this a little bit. You mentioned that going from once you quote unquote master the things that you're doing in the first stage, or, you know, we'll call it a stage, into the next thing, don't forget to continue doing those things that got you to the second stage. Well, 9 times out of 10, those are like fundamental things. Those are foundational 100%. Things. But most people think it's, I need advanced stuff. I need to do this sexy thing over here.
Oh my God.
You know, and it's like you just continue doing, double down on what's working, and what's working 9 times out of 10 is a foundational principle.
Dude, the last like 6 months of like, you know, we've been obviously coming out of a lot of this stuff and like kind of rebuilding our own foundations and et cetera and stuff. And you know, I look at all the people that are like, are way ahead, or, you know, like you look at someone who like you were kind of in the same, call it era with, like the grade, and they're like, man, like they're so much further ahead. We've all said this to ourselves. Right. Sure. And it's like, oh, they've actually just kept their business simple this entire time, while I've kept making it more and more complex. It's no wonder they're like, if you look at any, like I look at, you know, the Amy's, the, you know, whatever, pick out different names. Like they sell 1 to 3 things, like, and many of them didn't start selling a second until after they hit the first 7 figures.
Yes.
And, you know, then you have a lot of like my audience where they're like, they're service providers and agents, and they have like a service menu a mile long. And they're like, why can't I get to, you know, 40K a month? It's like, because you have technically 40 different businesses, because each of those services is completely different, you know? And it's, so the more and more I look at it, like the people that I'm like, all right, like, what is it about what they're doing? And I'm like, oh, their whole thing is just simple. And the reality is, anyone listening, like, go look at someone that you've maybe been modeling or emulating, or you, you know, admire. And I will guarantee that they have just never, like, those successful people just have never stopped doing the fundamentals. They've done more, they'll go on to some more advanced stuff, but they've always keep doing the fundamentals. And it's like, that's a key piece of it. It's like, we're doing my presentation, I share on day, well, and it's going to be on the end of day one this time. I call it the fireside chat. I share like the top 10 lessons that I've learned from the last 90 days. And one of them is do the unsexy work. It's like, there's a ton of stuff that even myself as the owner, like I need to fall back in love, not even fall back in love with, but just, I just have to do it. Like those are things and activities that I have to do in order for us to hit certain goals until I'm in a position to have someone else do them for me. Yeah. And like, yes, it could be cool to hire someone, but like, if you don't have the budget to do that, or all of the people that would help, like, guess who's got to do it? You, you know, it's like a VA is not going to do it. Like all those, like there's certain things like sales activities, blah, blah, blah. It's like, all right, do the unsexy work and never stop doing the unsexy work.
I love that. I'm going to grab that quote. Never stop doing the unsexy work.
Yeah, because it's the stuff that works.
Exactly. I want to kind of shift the conversation slightly to this whole concept of overwhelm. And this is another post that you wrote that I thought was great, because this is something, again, that I've been going through as well. And actually, before we do that, you know, talking about simplifying the business, 2019 for me has been that. You know, where in 2018, I remember I was so overwhelmed, where I had you know, I had an ads course for online businesses. I had an ads course for local businesses. I had ads course for ad managers. I had a membership site. I had our membership program. I had a group coaching program. Like, it was like, holy cow, I'm having, number one, I have so many offers. Number two, I'm having to have so many different conversations to attract those people, you know, for the various programs. And I was like, I was just so overwhelmed by it all. And now this year, you know, we have the Accelerator Mastermind, which is for online experts looking to take their business to the next level. And then my Foundations Ads course, which is Facebook and Instagram ads, you know, for people who are either just getting started or for people who are doing ads right now and they're looking to, you know, figure out, hey, how do I get better results from what's not working right now?
Yeah.
And that has been so, it's been so nice to have two offers. And, you know, we're recording this right now, the middle of November. And I'm looking at, okay, what does that look like for 2020 as far as, you know, the marketing sequence, if you will, you're talking about sequence, like, what does that look like? And it's like just so much simpler to look at the business that way. And profitability is back up this year, go figure. And in fact, I think profitability, if we finish out the way that we are, which I think we will be the highest profit margin we've had in the business since... in 6 years.
There you
go. Yeah. I mean, so it's like, that's the other thing too. Like, let's talk about this for a second. Profitability is a number that no one talks about, right? Yeah. They're always like, I want a 7-figure business. But yet if you make $1 million and you have $800,000 worth of expenses, no one talks about the expenses part. No one talks about the profit margin part. So it's like, would you rather have $1 million business with that kind of profit margin, or would you rather have, you know, a $300,000 business where it's a whole lot less stressful and your profit margin is still high?
Totally. I heard a quote from Todd Herman once. He said, this is super paraphrasing, so this is not word for word, but the gist was, most online entrepreneurs, or really most entrepreneurs, small business entrepreneurs, should like look to get a business that is somewhere between the $1 and $3 million a year range, because what he's seen is that the feeling that you will have as, and again, I'm not in that range, like I'm not there yet. So like, I can't personally speak to this, but he's like, the feeling that you will have going from 3 million to 10 million is the same feeling that you had when you went from zero to 75,000 a year. And he's like, so put yourself back in when you were trying to like break six figures a year. Like, that's what going from 3 to 10 million is going to be like. And so he's like most business, like if you're like trying to build a successful business, and like actually still have a life that you want. Like, yeah, some people, good, they're wired to be like the animals that build the 10, 20, $30 million businesses. But like the 1 to 3, most people will probably be really happy is, you know, what the gist of that was. And I thought that was just really telling. Again, like numbers aside, like I know what it felt like when I was making less than $100,000 a year, and it was stressful. So it just kind of puts it in context. And again, you could be, like you said, you could be making that much, but then taking home next to nothing. That's actually a question that we ask people that come in to get into our program. I'm like, what's your revenue? What's your take home?
Because no one talks about that.
Some of the disparity in these numbers is shocking. Like really, like how, like I genuinely have no, like I have to ask, I'm like, how are you like paying rent? Like, or your mortgage? Like you're not paying yourself, you know? And yeah, it can be dangerous if you're not focused on profitability at the same time.
We almost doubled this year alone. We've almost doubled our profit margin, which
is awesome.
I'm so excited about. Like the revenue is great, but I'm more excited about the profit margin.
Yeah.
Actually taking home.
And something I think also, and depending upon, again, solving the right problems in the right order, if you're in growth mode, like you can't, like from what I've found at least, like you can't be focused on necessarily profit and growth at the same time.
Yeah.
Because like, if you're doubling down on like investing in team and all that stuff, like you're going to have to sacrifice in, you know, profit margin, or at least shrink it a little bit in order to get this help, which obviously should propel you in revenue, but then bring you back to, you know, into KPI, or your profit margin percentage. So it's not like, okay, cool, you've done this and you're going to get to a point where you're going to be like, okay, well, if I want to go to the next level, this is what I need. And that might require you to decrease that profit margin temporarily or for a little, maybe a long time in order to get to the next level that you're looking at. And so it's, I forget where I read it, but it was like, you can't focus on profit and growth at the same time. Like, yeah, it's just not really totally possible.
And that kind of goes back to like you were talking about before, like the seasons too, right?
Yeah.
Go through periods of growth and your profit's going to go down. And I'm looking at probably in 2020, that's, I'm kind of seeing that happening for me as well, which is, I'm okay with that because I know that the investments that are being made are in the business to, you know, to grow the business and to get more of my time back.
Yeah.
Cause that's really what is most important to me. Obviously the revenue, great, but I want to get the time back as well. And so,
because then you have more time to think, which is going to allow you to grow the business so that whatever the next thing is,
yeah, 100%. I want to start to wrap this conversation up kind of like taking what we're talking about right now from a growth standpoint, and thinking about growth can be really overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so I want to read another post. It's not as long as the one that before, but I want to kind of talk about this for a second. You said, if you're overwhelmed to growing your business, just know it's normal. I talk to entrepreneurs doing $5,000 a month and $1 million a month plus. They all experience overwhelm. The thing is, as you grow and reach new heights, the air gets thinner. Just like when you climb a 14er, what's that?
It's a mountain that's 14,000 feet in elevation. It's a Colorado thing.
I was going to say, yeah. Greg's in Denver. The higher you get, the harder it gets to breathe. The air is thinner up there. As you get higher, the problems don't go away. They grow. As you get higher, the competition becomes more fierce. As you get higher, the mistakes get bigger. One mistake can cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not more. So when you're sitting there at whatever level you're at, just know it's not really going to get easier. If you're always reaching for growth, you'll always be out of breath. You will always feel this way as long as you want to grow. Over time, you continue to advance your quote unquote level of play. Here's the thing though, growth comes with trade-offs. It's also a trade-off that you don't have to make if you don't want to. And guess what? That's totally fine. But you then have to be okay with that choice. Remember, this is the game that you chose to play. You can choose to keep growing and go higher up the mountain, or you can go back down to where it was easier to breathe, because once you've been to higher heights, coming down will feel easier because you've been there, done that. Just like cyclists who train at altitude then dominate the competition at sea level, the point of the game is to keep playing. There is no end. This is why everyone says you must fall in love with the process. Learn to love the journey. It's the best part.
Yeah.
I love that. It's and I think this kind of sums up what we've been talking about here today is like, you get to create what you want to create in your business. And it's okay if you reach a point in the business, you're like, cool, I'm doing this. I don't like this level though. I want to kind of come back down and create more of what feels good to me. That's okay to do.
Amen. It is true.
This is one of those like iceberg things too, right? The iceberg metaphor.
Yeah,
we see other people's businesses and it looks all amazing in their Instagram feed, but that's not reality, right?
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of stuff going on the back end that no one's talking about that's very similar to what you might be going through in your business as you grow, but just on a different level. Growth doesn't mean like just because you go from like you have a big business doesn't mean your problems go away. They're inflated.
I mean, to put it in context, and I'm sure some people that are going to hear what I'm about to say and be like, but like if that's what you're saying, then you actually have a problem and you need to figure it out. I'm talking to a buddy of mine who has a business that's doing, I mean, at the time of the conversation, it was like $1.4 million a month. And this is what we were kind of talking about, like that the problem, like there's just different problems. Yeah. And he was like, you know, it was the day of the month where payroll hit, which was like $250,000. And then they also were paying off ad spend, which was like $350,000 that month. Mm-hmm. And he's like, when you watch like over $500,000 leave your checking account, and then your wife is like, hey, I'm going to go buy this thing that's like 10 grand or whatever. He's like, he's freaking out. He's like, I don't even know if we're going to have money, like with the timing. Like, I don't even know if this is going to go through. Like, I'm not sure how we're going to pay for this today at this moment in time, because like he was in growth mode. And so, you know, heavy in team, they got an office space and, you know, they were heavy spending in ads. It's like, and those are the same problems. Right. And again, like, you know, with growth comes, you know, different obstacles, but like it always comes back to you as I think the owner in some way, shape or form, where like you have the same things, like, is this going to go through? Like, am I going to, you know, be able to pull this move off, whatever. So yeah, I think, I just think it's natural. Again, like you're climbing a mountain, like it's hard. You're challenging yourself. And, you know, there's a reason why not many people, percentage wise, small businesses ever even cross a million. Like,
yeah,
a million's hard. Is it easier today than it has been ever? Yeah, which is great. But that means there's also a lot more people, you know, that you're typically competing with. But like you said, it's a choice. Like, of all of the ups and downs that I've had, like I was telling my wife, Sarah, this other day, it's like, man, like, I know it's been like a little bit, you know, felt like a little bit of a roller coaster, but like, I'm still really enjoying it. Like,
yeah.
Yes, I'm stressed sometimes. And yes, like I'm scared sometimes and I'm uncertain sometimes, but like, I've never been more confident. And I'm clear. And like, I've seen, like, looking back on my own growth, like personal growth, like we've come a really long way. Like even yeah. like back to when this conversation started, we're sitting there in, you know, San Francisco in a coffee shop. And then even the time we were, you know, in Bozeman, like we have come a long way. Right. And there's totally. A lot to be celebrating. And it's like, we've acquired skills and experience over that time that are obviously we can continue to utilize moving forward, which, you know, that's part of the game. It's like, totally. We chose this path. I could easily go find another job, like pretty confidently, but like, I don't think I would be nearly as rewarded
for sure.
Or fulfilled. And so, yeah. So if, I guess for those listening, like if you feel overwhelmed or you're struggling or you're uncertain, like it's okay. Like those things are 100% normal. And when, if you're sitting there saying, oh, well, when I make X dollars or when X happens, it will be better. Guess what? It won't.
No.
Like, no. It, like you're just going to have different problems. Like yeah. maybe the one thing that you were worried about is better, but there'll be other things that are not better and you'll have to figure that out. And so yep. it's just a game.
And you need to be in it for the long haul. This is not an overnight thing.
Yeah. 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 so many things I could say there, but yeah.
So totally. let's kind of wrap this up in a couple yeah. of bullet points here about our conversation. So yeah. number one, we got to be creating our business based on what success looks like to us, not somebody else's version of that success and their and what their business looks like. You talked about getting clear, taking the time to make space in your calendar, in your schedule to really think about your business and think about, like, do you have the foundation or the fundamental stuff solid and yeah. not trying to jump too far ahead to solve things that might not really be what's actually wrong with the business.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, really talking about with growth comes bigger problems. Like the problems yeah. are not going to go away. They're just different at different levels.
Yeah.
And so if we think that things are going to be fine or all better when we reach a certain level, that's not true. They're just going to be at a bigger scale. What else right. am I missing here?
Yeah. I mean, it's okay if you feel overwhelmed. Just remember that you chose the game that you're in. And if you're unhappy with where you're at, I think you need to get really clear on A, be real with where you're at right now and where you want to get to and really hunker down. Like, what are the things that you need to focus on to start getting there? To kind of maybe add one more thing, what I've actually found, I think it's really easy to say, I want to have XYZ, right? But if we never say, okay, well, where am I at right now? Like, what is my current reality? So say you, just for the sake of rough examples, say you're doing, you know, 500,000 and you want to get to 1,000,000, but you never actually look at the fact that you're making 500,000, which I know there's a lot of people listening probably that don't even know how much money they're making right now. And they're like, I want a 7-figure business or I want an 8-figure business. And you never have like that real talk conversation with, what does my business look like right now? What does my life look like right now? And you're going out there every day doing whatever the hell it is you're doing. You are operating in fantasy effing land. Like, because there's no way for you to put together any sort of realistic plan to hit that far out number if you have no idea what the heck your reality is right now.
Yeah.
And guess what? The reason why you haven't done it is because it's not going to look good. And that's why I was ignoring it. It's like, oh, wow. Like, I'm real with myself. I'm like, I'm paying for this that I shouldn't have been. I don't even have that money that I'm paying. It's like, wow, I'm barely paying myself. You know, there's a lot of people that are in that situation. And it's like, you just never had that real talk moment with like, what is the current state? Because until you know what your current state is, I don't care what your future goal is. You can't build a bridge. Like, there's no possible way. And so I think, you know, just getting clarity back to what you want, why you want it, being comfortable with that, I mean, obviously is the overarching theme of the episode.
Totally. And I'll even add one more, like, a woo-woo element to what you just said. If we're not looking at our numbers, if we're not being honest with where we're at in the business right now, if we're afraid of that, what are we saying energetically? What are we sending out energetically? If we actually do want to grow the business, but yet we're not even looking at what we currently have because we're afraid of that. And I'm not saying like, I'm speaking from experience. Like, I didn't want to look at the numbers.
Well, I think that's where we end up wanting to want something.
Yeah.
You know, and when you really dig down, you're like, oh wait, I wanted to be the guy that wants the $20 million company,
yeah,
but I'm not willing to make the sacrifices or the compromises that are going to be required of me to be the person that can even pull that off.
And that's okay.
100% it's okay.
And it goes back to what you said originally, like having that self-awareness.
Yeah.
You know, we have to be okay with like, all right, look, this is what we want, but we're not willing to do X, Y, Z. Okay, great. But just, you're not going to get there because you're not willing to do these things or whatever, you know, that's okay.
Yeah.
Just be aware of that. Dude. So good. So good. I mean, we've been talking for an hour and it went by in a flash.
Like, I like don't want it to end.
I know. We could talk about this forever. Like, this is such a great conversation. And, you know, let's have you back on in 2020 to kind of revisit where you're at and sort of like the next, talking about evolution in the next season of the business. And we'll talk about where you're at and I'll do the same thing. And we'll have this conversation again, kind of like the next iteration. So where can people connect with you? I know you have a great podcast. Like, where can people connect with you, check you out, learn more about what you're up to?
Yeah, I'll give you two places. One, I do a lot of free content, like you said, on my podcast, but the podcast is primarily like actually video based. So I would say go on YouTube and search for Greg Hickman or just / Greg Hickman TV, all one word. And you'll get to my YouTube channel. There's episodes every single week kind of talking about my own journey and the stuff that we've applied to our business and, you know, from a systems and automation perspective. Then if you are like some sort of digital agency owner or a service provider that doesn't really want to keep growing your business that way, and maybe you want to like have a coaching business or add consulting, that's like the future of agency, in my opinion, is having that alternative revenue stream as a part of your agency. And so I put together a case study at system.ly/case-study. Opt into that. I take you through three steps that we made to swap out 60K of done for you revenue into 100K of more leverage revenue in 11 months. And then three clients of ours that have, you know, started to see the benefits of doing that same process, all different types of agencies. So if you've been doing done for you work, this is for you. That's where you'll learn more about like what we're actually doing.
System.ly/case-study.
Yes.
Awesome. And what's the name of the podcast?
Scalable.
Scalable. Wherever podcasts are listened to.
Wherever,
Dude, thank you so much for coming on here. Always love catching up with you.
Likewise,
appreciate you, my brother.
Appreciate you too, man.
All right. How good was that conversation? Man, I could talk to Greg for hours about this stuff. Definitely will have him back on in 2020 for the next iteration of this conversation and the next level of both his business and my business. And we'll continue this conversation. I think it's so important to be having these types of conversations and sharing this stuff and openly talking about it because it's super, super important. Hey, don't forget, if you're an online expert, in other words, you're a coach, you are a course creator, you're a consultant, you're an online educator, and you've already achieved a certain level of success in your business, but now you're spinning your wheels, you're stuck, and you want to get to the next level, then I want to invite you to apply for my 6-month Accelerator Mastermind, which kicks off in January. Now, just to be clear, this is not simply a Facebook ads mastermind. This is your one-stop shop for cohesive growth coaching to help you take your online business to the next level. Okay, it's application only. And if you want to apply, I'd love to invite you to. Go to rickmulready.com/accelerator. Again, it's rickmulready.com/accelerator. Coming up on the podcast, I've got a podcast. I don't know why I said it like that. Coming up on the podcast, I've got another quick tip episode coming your way. Thank you so much, as always, for listening to the show today. I super appreciate it. I'll see you right back here for the next episode here on the Art of Online Business podcast.
Don't forget to head down to the show notes below and register for the Platform and Profit Summit that starts May 1st, this Wednesday, where you're going to hear just practical advice that's working right now, this year in 2024, not in years past, right? Like how to build a 90-day evergreen funnel that actually works. Presented by Corinne Crabtree. Heard of her? How about minimalist marketing? How to get more eyes on your business by doing less? Or what about 5 simple website fixes to get more clients? I'm not going to read through all of these good talks and strategy sessions, but what you got to take away is this is not theory. It's what's working in people's business. These experts that are speaking, they're sharing the good stuff, behind the scenes stuff. And, you know, I'll be speaking there too on a panel about how to position yourself and your business for more connections and collaborations, because really it's partnering and collaborating with people that brings authority, that brings in steady revenue and profit into my business. So I want you guys to learn and take away strategies and tips and tricks and real systems that you can put to work in your business right now. That link is in the show notes below. Sign up is 100% free, but it does start May 1st. That's in a couple days from now, and I'll see you there. Take care. Bye.